Thank you. I knew I was going to be late, so my proxy signed in, but apparently missed a box. I'm going to just circulate. This is, of course, not any sort of official amendment, but it's something that I would ask the committee to consider, and we'll work with the Attorney General's office as need be to draft up in some fashion. I have testified before the committee before, and you may remember, I still remain the only prosecutor in the state to have civilly committed anyone under the RSA 135E sexually violent predator involuntary civil commitment law. The comments that I want to address to the committee today focus specifically on how 135E commitments were affected by SB 500. And for that, I'm going to give you just a little bit of background. SB 135E was passed and implemented starting in January of 2007. It allows for people with certain qualifying convictions to be referred to the Department of Health and Human Services, an expert panel to determine whether or not the experts on that panel determine a person to be a sexually violent predator, which is defined as someone who has a mental abnormality that makes them likely to engage in future acts of sexual violence, and those are specifically defined terms. And then we amended the law last year or the year before to take out one other provision. So as it stands now, you only have to have two things: a qualifying conviction and that mental abnormality that makes you likely to reoffend. The important part that I want the committee to address in its consideration of SB 52 is that qualifying conviction. And the reason I say that is because we throw around sex offender a lot. We use that term sex offender. You see that the Attorney General's proposed change to the 90-day rule refers to sex offenders or some other term that kind of just references sex offenders generally. It's important for my office, for prosecutors who are doing these civil commitments, to have the committee focus specifically on people who are eligible for commitment under RSA 135E. Again, it's a specific subset, a sexually violent offense as defined by 135E2 Roman 11. So you've heard a lot of testimony today from people talking about the 90-day provision and the 9-month prior to release provision of SB 52. There's another one, of course, that has been overlooked, and that is the provision that said essentially any prisoner convicted of a nonviolent offense would be paroled upon serving 120% of their maximum sentence. The problem with that is it actually conflicts, it doesn't conflict expressly, but I'll explain in a moment. It is incompatible with our responsibility to try to determine whether someone is subject to civil commitment. I can sum up in one sentence that what I want the committee to consider is for the parole board to have discretion as to whether or not to parole people, any individual who is potentially eligible for commitment under 135E. Okay, back to my proposed paragraph B there then. This 120% of the maximum, you can have someone who is serving a sentence for a nonviolent offense. It could be a theft, it could be a burglary that doesn't have a sexual component, it could be a kidnapping that doesn't have a sexual component. That may be a violent offense. I would have to actually look it up. But any person who previously has a sex offense, that means they could be serving again. They could be serving a theft, but 10 years ago, they served a sentence for an aggravated felonious sexual assault. That person is potentially subject to civil commitment. The parole board needs to have discretion to deal with those people, because otherwise it gets shifted to our office to determine, is this someone who's still dangerous? Should we be referring them for civil commitment? But the problem, of course, is that they're going to be out on parole. The parole board may be able to institute conditions that keep them safe. Of course, SB 500 stripped them of much of that discretion as to whether or not someone is too dangerous to be released at all. So when you consider the amendments that the Attorney General has proposed, that as it's written currently, and with what I have proposed, please consider including the amendment that I've put here, that even that 120%, we need to separately consider those individuals who are otherwise subject to 135E, because the counties should not be left with that responsibility. What we've focused on, what we came before this committee for a couple years ago and asked you to change, was we want to narrow down that pool of people who are subject to this commitment to the worst of the offenders out there. Those are the people who are maxing out, who haven't listened to the parole board, they haven't done their treatment. But if you don't give the parole board discretion to control those people, then you're leaving us in a situation where we may have to refer them. It's an incredibly expensive process. I don't think we've done one of these cases yet for less than $20,000 or $30,000. It's an incredibly expensive process to shove off onto the counties when the parole board could be considering conditions that will control these people or deem that they're just too dangerous to release. So I would like you to consider adding that. I added my next paragraph simply because in your provision 3, where you've suggested amending RSA 135E3-2, I have one other aspect that I need to address, and that is notices that we receive from the Department of Corrections. Anytime someone with a qualifying sex offense is going to be released, they get referred to our office or to the county attorney's office. So we receive a lot of notices for people who might not otherwise be eligible. But this maximum sentence is when we really need the notice. These are the people who we really care about, and we need time to deal with them. The change that is proposed right now for this paragraph would, on the one hand, paragraph 1, you are taking away the 9-month automatic parole. So the parole board may not release these people, but they still might. But in paragraph 3, you've eliminated the extra 9 months of notice. So we could end up with a situation under the SB 52 as it's proposed here, where the parole board does decide to parole someone. Again, you've heard testimony that may often happen, because even with these extremely dangerous people, they want them supervised. But with this provision now, we may only get notice at the same time that the parole board is about to let them go. We need that 9-month window before that period. So if you do make these changes, what I've suggested with my other amendment is simply that you, instead of scratching out on parole and putting from the maximum sentence, simply say that we shall get written notice at least 9 months prior to the potential release on parole, because then we will still get a long enough window that we can address whether or not we're going to civilly commit these people. I will say, just as a general matter, I have, of course, in prosecuting these cases, had to educate myself very quickly on sex offenders, on recidivism, and I can certainly say I do support the Attorney General's efforts to get some of these people that 9-month window of supervision. So I'm not suggesting that my testimony, as it relates to how we prosecute these SVP cases, that I don't want them to be released on that 9-month window. I simply want us to have adequate notice if we're going to pursue involuntary civil commitment.